Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be back. Been a long week.
Great to be back at the start of the Halloween season, my favorite holiday.
And harvest, which is a bit rough on me, if you can't tell.
But we're back. We're bringing you another episode. This time we're going to be talking about the forms of lightsaber combat.
Or at least as the Jedi see them.
As the Jedi see them, yes. They were just as important to the Sith, though, I feel like.
Yeah, but there's a lot of lost forms as well, theoretically speaking.
Forms you don't really see that much of, as far as canon is concerned.
Well, and the seven forms we're going to be talking about today are the forms recognized by the Jedi Council. So, in the Old Republic era, there would have probably been forms of lightsaber combat specifically developed by the Sith. Some of them would have been modified into parts of the seven, but we don't have any written records of the Sith's specific lightsaber forms.
There's one we do have record of, Form 7 Juyo, which was developed by the Sith.
But eventually was brought in by the Jedi, and then banned by the Jedi, and then brought back by the Jedi, and then mastered by a Jedi.
It's funny because
it's a long story.
The Form 7, though it's forbidden by the Jedi, you have to have strict permission from the Council to be able to practice and train in Form 7.
Which seems a bit self-serving, seeing as the only two Jedi to utilize Form 7 are on the Council.
Yes, it is fairly interesting to me. However, one of the practitioners being Mace Windu, I feel like he kind of had his own permission.
Yeah, I feel like he didn't ask for permission. He just sort of did it.
Yeah, just because he was then able to develop his own Form 7 Vapad, which him and his apprentice Sora, I believe is the name, if I'm not mistaken, who actually was the co-creator of Form 7 with Mace Windu. They were the only two practitioners.
Not Form 7 necessarily, but more specifically Vapad, which was his form of Form 7.
That's correct, yes.
But I feel like we're getting a bit out of order on that, aren't we?
I think we are. So let's start with number one, the most basic form.
Shicho.
Taught as a Padawan. Most Jedis, it's the most mastered form.
And commonly referred to as the Way of the Sarlacc.
Correct.
You can see this in use in canon by Kit Fisto and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Kit Fisto actually was renowned as the master of Shicho.
Yes. And Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're going to hear this a lot throughout this episode.
Mm.
I'm just going to give you the heads up. Obi-Wan Kenobi actually mastered quite a few of the forms of lightsaber combat. And you can see the different forms in his fights throughout the saga. For instance, during episode 4 with his fight with Vader, that is specifically Shicho that he's using.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas during the fight with Anakin on Mustafar, he uses a different form. Specifically to counter Anakin's form, which he was using in that fight. But we'll get into that later.
Of course, Obi-Wan was an extremely renowned Jedi. As a Padawan, he learned under his master, Qui-Gon, who was a master of Form 4 Ataru.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get too much off track with the numerical sequence of the lightsaber forms, but yeah, Obi-Wan trained with Qui-Gon and then eventually developed. Not developed, but became a master of Form 3. But Shicho, the speculation is the only reason that Kit Fisto was able to stave off Palpatine when the council members went to arrest him in episode 3 was because he used Shicho.
Which is very defensive.
And offensive. However, he was able to realize the threat, and after Sesaitin and Eeth Koth, the other two Jedi Masters were cut down. Form 1 is so instinctual for Jedi Masters, and him being a master of the form was he was able to go on the defensive almost instantaneously.
And a part of the reason it's so instinctual in my mind is because it happens to be the oldest form of Jedi lightsaber combat.
It's the first form.
It's the first form. It's the oldest form, and it was developed by the early Jedi based on those instincts.
It was.
So it is very instinctual by its nature, so it's very easy to utilize it in a situation where you're under large amounts of pressure.
Correct. And that kind of leads us into Form 2. Over the thousands of years Jedi and Dark Jedi and Sith were fighting with Form 1, fights just became a stalemate. because it was just long drawn out battles, and the opponents basically knew each other's fighting style because everyone knew the Form 1. And so the Jedi came up with a new style, which is Form 2 Makashi, my favorite style, actually.
Yeah?
Yes, and it is a strictly 1v1 or duelist v duelist style.
This is incredibly showcased in Dooku's fight, because Dooku used Form 2.
Mm-hmm. He was a master of it.
Yes, he was.
Even as a Jedi master.
Considered one of the greatest duelists of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
There are arguments that at his prime, he could have stood his ground against Yoda in a full-on duel.
I feel like he did, too, at least for the latter portion of the fight. The power of Force, you know, the Force-wielding fight between Yoda and Count Dooku, I feel like Yoda definitely had the upper hand. He trained his apprentice. He's been a Jedi Master for 800 years.
And Yoda has a higher midichlorian count.
Well, and it's not the first Sith he's faced with Force lightning. I mean, come on. Yoda's definitely faced Sith in his life. He knows how to counteract the abilities, but...
Well, and if not formally Sith, at least Dark Jedi, or turned Jedi, even if they weren't trained specifically by the Sith.
Yes. And Count Dooku, being a master of Form 2 Makashi, he was able to basically be on the offensive with Yoda, who utilized Form 4, and it kind of made Yoda have to reevaluate, because he knew his apprentice, former apprentice, I should say, was extremely gifted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some other notable users of Form 2 Makashi are Tulak Horde, my favorite ancient Sith.
Ki-Adi-Mundi
as well, yes. He was also a notable Form 2 user and a Form 4 user.
Yes.
Tulak Horde, and I believe we touched on this in the Sithari episode, this is around the time Form 2 just came out, so to speak.
And was basically mastered by and critiqued to the point where it was incredibly... almost perfected by Tulak Horde.
It was. He was seen as the pinnacle of the Form 2 use. He was... Nobody could best him in battle.
Right.
Because they weren't... If they had touched on Makashi, they weren't, I guess you could say, skilled with it. And mm-hmm. Tulak Horde was able to utilize... Because Makashi utilizes critical strikes, pinpoint precision strikes, which is why Count Dooku, in his duel with Anakin and Obi-Wan, he was able to make those quick... cuts to debilitate his opponents.
Well, Anakin's defense in that battle was pretty good. Count Dooku was able to get by and just nick Anakin outside of his defense. That even though he couldn't land a killing blow at that point, he knew he could nick Anakin and incapacitate him. Well, both of them.
Well, he cut off Anakin's arm, but yeah.
Well, that wasn't until later in the battle. That put him out of the battle.
Yeah, it did. But Tulak Horde basically was able to keep his reign as the Dark Lord of the Sith in his era because, I mean, if you can't beat the leader, you're not going to take his spot.
Yes, the Sith are very tribal that way.
Yeah, and Ki-Adi-Mundi was also a renowned Makashi user, which is a reason he held one of the higher seats on the council next to Plo Koon, Mace Windu, Obi-Wan, and Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of get into, speaking of Obi-Wan on that matter, is Form 3, Sarisu.
Also known as the Way of the Minok, it is probably one of the forms that I know the least about.
It was developed because as blasters were becoming more prominent in the galaxy, Form 1 and Form 2 weren't able to necessarily deflect blaster bolts. Jedi could block them. They could...
But Sarisu was more about sending the blaster bolts where you wanted them to go.
Right. Reflection versus deflection. There's a huge difference with... Any Jedi can learn how to deflect a blaster bolt. But reflecting a blaster bolt back at its opponent is a skill few have mastered except for Obi-Wan, the most notable practitioner of Form 3 Sarisu. In fact, a master of it.
Luminara.
Luminara as well was a Form 3. Yes, she was.
She was pretty good at that as well. She was able to deflect blaster bolts back at enemies and at other targets.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Same with Obi-Wan. You can see that in several places where he deflects a blaster that's coming in at his side and flings it towards the back at another droid or another adversary. I know you're not going to like this, but Kanan Jarrus was also trained in that because he was trained during the Clone Wars.
Who's Kanan Jarrus?
Rebels.
Never seen it. Sorry, folks. Hate to break your hearts, but never seen Rebels. Don't plan on it.
So he was trained specifically during the war against the droid. So he was trained in that form as well, and
who was his reasonably master?
Proficient. Offhand, I can't tell you. That's something we'd have to look up.
Sure.
I've seen the show. Doesn't mean I like it.
Fair enough. But Obi-Wan was just. I mean, when it comes to Sarisu, he
probably bested
Grievous, the absolute pinnacle. He bested Grievous.
Yes, he did.
No Jedi or Jedi Master before Obi-Wan could beat Grievous, save for Ki-Adi-Mundi.
Defeated Darth Vader as well.
I suppose. I would say that was more his Dun Mach as opposed to Form 3. He knew as the fight progressed with Anakin.
He flipped between them.
Anakin was just going to overpower him.
Oh, so absolutely.
If he didn't use Form 3 in that fight against Anakin, he would have lost instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. But that kind of leads us into Form 4, the more acrobatic of them, Form Ataru.
The aggression form, yes. Is as it's titled. Not all forms have a title. Some of them are just the name of the form, and some are titled
after beasts.
Beasts or actions. The aggression form, in this case.
Notable practitioners are, Phil?
Qui-Gon Jinn, for starters.
Absolutely.
And you can definitely see that in his battle with Maul.
The only way he was able to keep up with a dual saber is to be as acrobatic as Darth Maul.
Oh, and ridiculously so. And you can kind of see that in Obi-Wan Kenobi, because during the end of that battle, you can kind of tell that he has the ability and was trained in it. He just never quite mastered it to the proficiency of his master, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Well, and it was only after that that he witnessed his master's death that he decided, you know, I might want to train in some defensive form so that doesn't happen to me.
Right, and the only reason that Qui-Gon Jinn lost that fight is because Darth Maul was using a form that pretty well countered that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now, Qui-Gon Jinn was incredibly efficient in his form, but had he been able to switch to a different form, I think he should have won that fight. But
being a consular, though, as well, kind of put him at a bit of a disadvantage. Not that he was unskilled, but that as far as his physical capabilities in a lightsaber duel go.
I would always argue that Qui-Gon Jinn could have hang with the best of any of the Jedi.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he was only a consular because he chose that path.
He preferred more force attributes as opposed to physical prowess.
But that doesn't mean he didn't have the ability to use the Knight's more aggressive demeanor.
Oh, of course.
He kept in a fight with Darth Maul, and he was basically hunting Sith. So, yeah. I mean, he fits in as a knight, he fits in as a consular, and he fits in as a sentinel.
Yeah, I suppose sentinel to a T.
He just chose to be a consular, and I think that's because he was able to have glimpses of the greater picture.
But a consular was very becoming of him.
Oh, yeah.
It fit him perfectly because he was so in tune with the Force and with everything. Yoda, as well, is a consular.
Well, and had he lived beyond the end of episode
one... But Yoda's extremely wise, so that's kind of why consular fits his
well, part. Only in some ways. At the end of episode one, had he been able to live through that, I think the entire franchise would be different because I think he was the wisest living consular in the Jedi Order at the time.
Really?
Yes. I think he saw through some of the pitfalls that Yoda fell into. I think some of the things that Yoda missed, he saw.
Well, that's because there are times I feel like he was a little more in tune with the Force than Yoda. Yoda was as pure as they can be and as wise as they can be, but was more let the Force guide his actions. Yoda may have meditated and been able to see the future and been the most powerful Grand Master, but he stuck to the light side. He never really faltered in between, versus Qui-Gon was like, well, yeah, I might have to mind trick somebody, but that's okay because...
Right, but if you'd have given Qui-Gon Jinn another 600 years to catch up to Yoda, because Yoda's, you know, 800 years old at this point, I'm just going to throw that out there, that if Qui-Gon had another 700 years to practice, he would have outstripped Yoda by a mile. However, he's human, so not an option.
Well, it is
an option if you're a Sith.
Yeah, it depends on the Sith. If you could prolong your life long enough.
Oh, absolutely.
Plagueis, Palpatine, Karnas Moor, Freedon Nadd, Darth Andidu. All the ancient Sith lords prior who were able to prolong their life by being ridiculously powerful in the dark side.
Oh, absolutely.
They were so stubborn they didn't want to die.
They were so stubborn they couldn't die. I can't think of the name, but there is a Sith lord who literally held himself together through hate.
Darth Sion.
Yes. Cut to literally 1,000 pieces held together by the Force and his own hatred and pain.
The dark side in specific.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Just a ridiculously powerful Sith. Another practitioner of Form 4 is Yoda, which you can definitely see the acrobat in that fight with Palpatine in the Senate chambers. That's the kind of pinnacle of Form 4. Absolute acrobat, just jumping everywhere, using the Force to leap around your opponent, make your opponent spin and defend himself, even against someone as absolutely aggressive as Palpatine.
Who utilized Form 7, Juyo.
But you can tell in the fight against Palpatine that he can dispatch three Jedi Masters, Jedi Council members, in a matter of seconds. Incredibly aggressive, doesn't hesitate, just goes for the kill. And Yoda was so proficient at Form 4 that he was able to make Palpatine get on the back foot and play defense. Which is incredibly impressive that Form 4, which is an older form, it's an older form, and Form 7 being the newest form, you would think it would have the ability to play more aggressively against all the other forms. It would have that, the bonus of youth.
Right, but again, we're talking about his age and his wisdom.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which I feel like far outweigh most of the Sith he came into contact with.
Well, and you won't argue against it for me, because I thoroughly believe that Yoda knew exactly how that fight was going to go.
Oh, absolutely. There's a reason that he might sacrifice himself at the end.
Well, I think Yoda could see glimpses of the future, and he knew if Obi-Wan fought him, he would lose.
Oh, even in Obi-Wan's prime, he wouldn't have stood a chance against Palpatine.
Oh, no.
Palpatine at this stage was in his prime. He might have been older, but he wasn't as deformed and decrepit. The dark side hadn't completely eroded his body. That leads us into Form 5.
Yes, it does.
Jem So and Shien. Actually, my favorite. The Way of the Crate Dragon.
You know, you've said that about half a dozen of them already, right? But, like, they're all your favorite?
Only two. Makashi and Jem So. Shien. Well, we have... There's two variants to this Form 5. Shien was a more defensive, reflecting blaster bolts back at people. And at the same time, Jem So was the physically exerting portion of that. So if you mastered Form 5, you were a master of lightsaber reflection, blaster, and deflection, and the physical overpowering capabilities of Jem So.
Yes, this is often seen in two-handed lightsaber combat, where they utilize both hands, one hilt, one blade.
Or dual sabers. Two single-bladed lightsabers.
Incredibly powerful strikes with all of your weight augmented with force. Not just your weight of the swing, but also you augment it with your force abilities to be a more forceful impact. You're trying to overpower them. You're trying to break their guard through sheer force.
Notable practitioners, of course. We all know the Chosen One, Anakin.
Anakin and Vader. Vader used it while he was a Sith Lord. Ahsoka Tano. Luke Skywalker.
He was. I'm more worried about Luke than Ahsoka Tano.
Well, Luke was probably, by the end of it, a master of all seven forms.
He was, actually. It's funny you say that. But Luke... I suppose we should start with Anakin.
I say probably because there's two timelines here. The probably comes in for the Disney, because Disney's Luke is the master of sitting on his ass and drinking green milk. So
blue milk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Such a distinction. We're going to go ahead and talk about the actual Luke, who is a complete and utter demigod.
End of Mandalorian Season 2. That's where we see Sheen and Jem Sol at its finest.
Oh, yes.
Blocking blaster bolts, reflecting him back at the dark droids.
And then cutting through a lightsaber resistant. Is it a droid or a cyborg at that point?
I feel like they're still droids because they don't really have any human parts or
I don't organs. Think it really matters, but they were supposed to be lightsaber and blaster resistant, and he literally used his lightsaber, his muscles, and his force attributes to power through them like they're made of butter.
And I think we should... I'd like to go back and talk about Anakin real quick while Luke is cool, but the Form 5 is fitting for the Chosen One. If you look at Anakin...
Very aggressive, very powerful, very...
He's over 6 feet tall.
Omnipresent.
He's over 70 kilograms in weight. Well over.
Oh, yes.
And
once he's Vader, he's well over, like, 500 kilograms because of the suit.
Oh, well, shoot. He's a big boy. But he's also physically strong. I mean, if you look at him in the movies, Hayden Christensen, the way he's portrayed is, I mean, he's pretty ripped.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty muscular body. And so that being said, this form is perfect for him. With the physical strength and the force behind him as the Chosen One, he has an unlimited amount of power to utilize this strongest form of lightsaber combat.
Yeah.
And that's why he was able to just, he beat Asajj Ventress. He beat Dooku. He beat other countless Jedi. I'm even willing to go out on a limb and say he beat Obi-Wan. We didn't see it in the movie in episode 3.
When did he beat Obi-Wan?
The whole fight. That's why Obi-Wan retreated. Think about it theoretically. Obi-Wan won by cutting him into tiny pieces, right? Cutting off his limbs.
Obi-Wan,
had Obi-Wan not retreated, he would have lost.
Obi-Wan won because of his wisdom.
He
was wise enough to know that the fight could go either way.
No, he knew he would have lost.
Retreating was his best option.
He knew he was going to lose. That's why he retreated. He took the Darth Maul approach.
Well, I will give you the fact that Obi-Wan would have lost in a straight-up lightsaber duel against Anakin at that point. You cannot take out of that equation the fact that Obi-Wan is older, he is more experienced, he's more level-headed and controlled.
But that doesn't matter when you're fighting the Chosen One.
And he's not an idiot. Yes, it does.
Neither is Anakin. Anakin wasn't an idiot. He was just arrogant.
He was at that point.
No, he was arrogant. That doesn't make him...
He was so filled with rage at that point that he made stupid mistakes, and that is the definition of idiocy.
The entirety of the fight, he wasn't making... He was probably 95% of the fight on the offensive.
Yes.
The only idiot mistake he made was underestimating his master who trained him.
But if Obi-Wan's fighting with a defensive style on purpose, then you would expect Anakin to be on the offensive. Forced to be by Obi-Wan, who is in control of the fight because he chose the style.
He chose it because that's the only style he knew he could have held his own against his apprentice. But if Obi-Wan's as wise as you're claiming him to be, he could have switched to any other form and fought Anakin, according to what you're saying. On the same level play.
Not any other form, but he was a master of two other forms of lightsaber combat, and he could have used those, but he would have lost. Form one, there's no way he would have beaten Anakin.
No. And Ataru form four.
I think so. I think Ataru. I don't think he could have kept up with Anakin, because Anakin at this point is being aggressive and powerful. And if he'd have gone into Ataru just an aggressive, a fairly acrobatic form, he would have just been outdone by Anakin's his youth, his force ability to augment his own movement, using his ability to use the force to speed himself up, leap higher.
I mean, he could have potentially utilized it, but he chose not to.
I don't think... I think Anakin would have straight up overpowered him within seconds.
Well, and Anakin could have used any number of skills that he had unlocked as a Sith. Force, pull, crush, any of these forms that, aside from utilizing Form 3 Sarisu, he wouldn't have been able to basically keep Anakin's force powers at bay.
Yeah.
But Form 5 is... And now we can get back to Luke, but Luke being a practitioner of Form 5.
There is something I think you'll appreciate about Form 5. Considered to be a master of Form 5 is Ahsoka Tano.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And I think the only way you're going to respect that is because I think the only Jedi who could have trained her to be that good at Form 5 is Anakin. Maybe Aayla Secura, but I don't think Ahsoka Tano would have responded well to Aayla Secura as a master.
I mean, Plo Koon was a notable master of Form 5 as well.
And maybe Plo would have been able to wrangle her, but I don't think he'd have taught her Form 5. I think he would have pushed her towards a more...
moderate form, I would say.
Yes, a more defensive, a more moderate. Definitely not something as acrobatic as Ataru, which is really where she shined. Being a... what's her species? I want to say Twi'lek, but that's not it.
No, Togruta.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Being a Togruta, she's naturally kind of bound to be more agile.
Shaak Ti's a Togruta, and she was a master of Form 5 as well.
Yes.
Most of the Jedi Knights on the Council, or Jedi Masters, I should say, were masters of Form 5, the Knights aspect.
Jemso, yeah.
Yes. Just because they have the experience, they have the knowledge, they have the expertise as Jedi Knights...
Well, and their suitable job, and their job as knights really does require them to be able to hold their own in lightsaber combat, utilize the force abilities that they have, and also deflect blasters, because as a peacekeeping role, a lot of what they'd be doing, and probably most of what they'd be doing, is fighting people with blasters. It's not very common that the knights in this era would come across a force wielder.
Well, given there were only two, maybe three Sith at the time...
Well, there are only two or three Sith, but I'm not referring to them. I'm talking about...
I'm just saying in terms of lightsaber combat, there's not enough Sith for them to really justify any other form. So they have to be able to keep the defense in the pocket, but also be offensive in the other pocket.
Right. And also, that probably stems from the hyperspace wars as well, where they had to use that incredible force to breach the Mandalorian's guard.
Well, yeah, because the Mandalorians and their...
were basically lightsaber-proof.
Mandalorian iron, or Beskar, as some of you might know.
So you would have to hit their joints with incredible force just to breach it.
Well, the Neo-Crusader the Neo-Crusader Mandalorians actually had armor made from Mandalorian iron.
Yes.
That actually covered joints.
Yes.
It's not until we get into, like, the Mandalore era with Jango Fett... where you begin to see the kind of the more exposed extremities of their bodies.
It covers most of them. And my little bit of headcanon, and trust me, it's just headcanon, it's nowhere I've looked for it, is that era of armor, they found a way to weave the Beskar into a fabric.
Mm-hmm. That's that undersuit that you see on Bulba and Jango.
Right, and my headcanon is that's part Beskar, and it's weaved in like...
it's almost like Mithril from Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Like, it's super light and nimble and flexible, but it has the ability to protect you.
Right, that's a great example, and that's my headcanon is Boba Fett has Beskar covering his entire body, but it's just a more fluid...
Flexible
Beskar, and it doesn't provide as good a protection in those spots because it's woven with the fabric, and that's my headcanon.
But it's enough to basically absorb a blaster bolt.
A couple of blaster bolts.
Right.
Obviously, it won't stop a lightsaber because Mace Windu.
That's where the more pronounced parts of the armor come in that cover the extremities, the shoulders, the chest, the back, the legs.
Right. There were still some joints that were weak spots. I mean, you can't create a suit of armor that's invulnerable unless you stop moving.
Well, no. I mean, look at Darth Bane with the Orbalisks.
Okay, that's not a suit of armor. That's a torture device.
But it acted as a suit of armor. Either way,
But his eyeballs were uncovered.
And then you have Shaak Ti. To bring back another Jedi Master, Shaak Ti, one of the renowned Jedi Masters who fought Galen Merrick, Starkiller, on the planet Felucia. Starkiller was sent there to kill her by Darth Vader.
Well, after Order 66, which she survived, some miraculously.
Unless you watch the deleted scenes of Episode 3 where Grievous puts a lightsaber through her chest on the ship.
But that doesn't matter to Disney.
I know, because it's a deleted scene. But clearly it mattered to Lucas if he thought about putting it on screen.
Probably the most badass scene in that movie, just saying.
Sad, but it's there. But Shaak-Ti fought against Starkiller on Felucia when Starkiller was Vader's lackey, I guess you could say.
Well, he was hunting down Vader's enemies.
And the only reason she was able to keep up with Starkiller, who was utilized Form 7 Juyo, with the reverse grip, mind you. Starkiller used Xian Gemso and Juyo kind of in fluidity, kind of in tandem with each other.
Right, and had he been given time and had he been born in an era where the Jedi were still a major player, I think, honestly, he probably would have created Form 8, whatever that may look like. I think he would have merged enough of the other forms into such a unique fighting style, he would have created a new form in and of himself.
I mean, that's an interesting thought, but given what we have, Shaak-Ti was able to basically defend herself because she could go on the defensive and the offensive. She ultimately lost against Starkiller and fell backwards into a Sarlacc pit and became one with the planet of Felucia.
What about Form 6?
Form 6, Neemon. It's one of those forms. It's the Way of the Rancor. But it's one of those forms that you don't really see. There aren't very many notable practitioners. It was more renowned for the consulars who would utilize force powers in tandem with fighting. So they would take a couple of swings with their lightsaber in a fight, and then they might pull back and use a force push or a pull or a disarm or something.
Very common in the Old Republic era. If you really want to see any great examples of this, I would suggest going to look up some of the cutscenes from SWTOR, Star Wars The Old Republic. Mm-hmm. They have some great examples of this. Their main cutscene is just phenomenal. They are all amazing and definitely worth a watch. It is a little bit of time because it's a big game, but the cutscenes in and of themselves, they just look amazing. They're really well done. Now, one of the practitioners of Form 6 that you do get to see in the movies is Darth Maul.
Darth Maul is a Form 7 user, not a Form 6. Yeah, he might have used force push and pull a few times in the fight, but using Neemon and then... Because he doesn't have a Shoto.
And he's the only example from the movies that I could find.
If anything, I would say he was Form 4 Taro with the ability of him to jump around. And he utilized a dual saber.
I would say that's more Form 7 in his case.
The only thing I can see in this point is the few force powers he might have used during his fight with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. That would have put him in league with Form 6, but I don't think that was his soul.
No, absolutely not his soul.
Learning under Palpatine and being an assassin that he was, Form 7 is definitely his forte, I feel like.
Right,
that's absolutely what he leaned on the most. I guess I could kind of see Form 6.
Now, I'm only throwing this out there because he was the only named force wielder that I could find in my short search of Form 7 because he was the only name I found. But, so I threw that in there just because I wanted to give an example, and you can kind of see it in a few of his fights where he uses his force push, his rebound, his... several of his force abilities.
Now, Form 6 was also... It was kind of a mix of all the fighting styles together. So, to consider yourself a master of it...
Well, all but 7.
Right, well, because at the time Form 6 was created, 7 wasn't created yet.
6 was the culmination of Forms 1 through 5. And it was... Oh, I read the number. I don't remember what year it was formally introduced to the Council. It was fairly recently in galactic history. But basically, it was the natural progression of lightsaber combat to, at the time, its pinnacle. That this is a collection of the best parts of each of the prior forms combined.
Correct. And also adding in utilizing multiple sabers. Shoto, or two regular lightsabers, or even a dual saber.
Or a light whip, or any of the other, really, what do they call that? A pikes. Light pike.
Yep. Senyut's Haral. Axes too, yes.
It was the pinnacle because you could use literally any lightsaber-based weapon. Light whips, lightsabers, shotos, double-bladed lightsabers, dual sabers. You could... And if you go through, what is the cutscene from the game? There's a game with a cutscene where he's using a dual saber and a saber.
Oh, you're talking about the beginning of SWTOR, the intro. When they're
taking over the space station above Korriban.
Yeah, so Teal Shan and her master. I can't remember her master's name.
And I can't either, and I can't remember from. But absolutely a phenomenal cutscene, shows the versatility of lightsaber combat when done right. Neemon, in my mind, is just the best all-around form, probably, if not my favorite, it's tied for first place with Form 7, because it's powerful, it's fast, it's agile, it's defensive, it blocks, it rebounds.
It allows you to use force powers as well.
Yes.
With fighting.
It's literally everything that's great about force or battling with lightsabers and the force. And the only reason there's nobody who's mastered it is because you have to master all five forms.
And I feel like
and then master a sixth form.
Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker are probably the only two who Darth Vader as we know who had time to master all of them, and then Luke, who had time to master all of them. He had to bring back the Jedi eventually.
Right. Well, and even people as powerful as Yoda couldn't have mastered Form 6 because he couldn't bury that much strength into a blow.
No.
So he physically was limited. Same for some of the smaller Jedi.
Jedi Master Nagani Zhou is Satil Shan's master, the one who had her dual saber and then his saber.
Oh!
Fighting Malgus and Malgus's master on the starship.
Probably the most epic cutscene from the entire game.
Back when the Jedi were extremely powerful, like ridiculously powerful. But that kind of leads me with Satil Shan. That kind of leads me into the pikes that you had brought up.
Yes.
Senyut Haral, Lord Vitiate's wife, actually, from Zakuul.
The Empress.
From the Zakuulan Empire. She utilized a saber pike. And it's cool because in Knights of the Fallen Empire, those cutscenes that they have from Star Wars The Old Republic, for the Knights of the Fallen Empire expansion, she comes out and she lights her saber staff. And she starts fighting all of these Zakuulan knights who are force-sensitive.
Yeah, like a half dozen of them.
Just totally beats them all. Like, nobody's business. And it's cool because she's wearing white-clad armor versus all the other Zakuulans are wearing... gold.
The golden armor.
But
of the Infinite Empire or whatever he called it.
Yes, because she is the wife of Vitiate, the Empress, she had her own guard. And her guard were all white clad armor. And it kind of turned into like this civil war, like all her soldiers were loyal to her and Vitiates were loyal to him.
Yes, and even it kind of shows up even in their children.
Thexan and Arkan. Where light and dark don't exist, by the way.
Right.
In the Infinite Empire. Light side and the dark side don't exist. The force is...
They are brought into balance in use.
And that's why Thexan and Arkon both had yellow lightsabers. Because they were to be seen as the force the way it's supposed to be. Vitiate was evil, by all means.
Not the merging of the force. Not the merging of the light and the dark like Mace Windu tried to do, or...
Terrible idea.
Oh, well...
For Mace Windu, even, that's a terrible idea.
Well, it does turn into some pretty impressive fights, but...
It does, but the force isn't meant to be used that way.
So it's not the merger of light and dark. It is actually following the force the way the Jedi, thank you. The way the original Jedi, which were the predecessors to the Jedi... would have seen it, that it was all things in balance and the will of the Force. Sometimes it's going to will you to do bad stuff, sometimes it's going to will you to do good stuff.
And we see this most prominent in Luke Skywalker. Utilizing Force Choke, utilizing lightning in the books of 7, 8, and 9. Basically,
but not Sith lightning.
No, it's not Sith lightning, but it's Force lightning. I mean, even Plo Koon used
Force lightning,
I guess you could
there's
say.
There's a distinction.
Not really. There's really not.
Power level.
No, because that's relying upon the user, not the Force. Darth Bane, when he first started learning how to use Force lightning, it didn't become Sith lightning until he became a Sith. Because then he utilized it in evil ways. But Darth Bane, next to Palpatine, Revan, some other notable practitioners of Force Lightning, Darth Bane was actually one of the most profound and prominent users of Force Lightning. So much so that the other Sith on Korriban when he was training were afraid of him.
I feel like we should really have a conversation about whose Force Lightning is most powerful.
Well, that's hard to say. Plagueis' master, I can't remember his name, he was a Biff. But he had a red light. We can get into an episode about different force powers, because there's a bunch of different colors of...
For instance?
Darth Tenebris.
Ah, the third to last Sith.
Yes, Darth Tenebris.
All right.
Creepy looking fellow. But as we finish out all of these forms of lightsaber combat, it leads us to our final one, which is Form 7 Juyo.
Yes, Form 7 is all about... ferocity, it's about just striking hard, striking fast, never stop going, never stop aggressing, never give your opponent a chance to respond or react. Yes. Kill them before they can put their defense up. And that's really, really easy to see in the main practitioner from canon, Palpatine.
Palpatine and Darth Maul?
Yeah, Darth Maul.
And Starkiller?
Well, yeah, but that's from outside canon.
Well, I'm not getting in. We're not going to do the whole canon, non-canon thing. This is Star Wars as
no, no,
a whole.
No, 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 no. I'm not saying we can't use stuff from outside of canon. I'm saying that was my caveat of my... The easiest one for everybody to notice is Palpatine, because he's got probably one of the most amazing fights in the entire saga.
Multiple times between Yoda and the Jedi Council members.
That's the one I was talking about, yeah. Was Yoda.
Yes.
Because he's not just fighting with a lightsaber, he's also using force abilities, which you can see the difference between that and Niman, which is in Form 6, it's more worked in. You use them at the same time. You take a step back and push.
But he didn't.
Whereas with Form 7, when he wanted to go to a competition of force powers, he had to throw Yoda off, and he had to go to a force powers competition.
I'm sorry.
He couldn't use his lightsaber and his force abilities at the same time very well.
You know, it really puts it into perspective in that scene where he's fighting Yoda. When Plagueis told Mace Windu, "I am the Senate," and then him tearing down the Senate, it really puts into perspective he was the Senate.
Basically, yeah. Well, and nobody questioned it. Like,
I just thought it was funny because he's like, "Oh, I am the Senate. Here. Take all the Senate chairs, Yoda.
Here, I'm going to punch you with my Senate chair hand."
Multiple times.
So, Darth Maul, very aggressive. You could tell that in the
fight
in the
agile,
desert.
Super tenacious.
Well, and you can tell that in the fight in the desert where he's fighting Qui-Gon.
He just comes out of nowhere. I mean, he's trained as an assassin.
Well, he leaps off of a speeding motorbike that is just going who knows how fast. Leaps off of it, lands it, and between leaping and landing, he strikes. He strikes while he's in the air, which means he leaps off of that speeder knowing that he's going to strike.
Well, he already had it in his mind.
Leap in such a way that he would land exactly where he needed to without landing, because the first thing of his that contacted anything was the lightsaber.
But Qui-Gon's quick response, because he already knew something was coming.
Well, he knew that he was back.
That's why they were running to the ship, because Qui-Gon felt a vergence where he's like, "We need to get out of here. Something's coming." He didn't know what,
but
he could sense
dark.
Something dark. And the minute Darth Maul's speeder shows up, Qui-Gon's already got his lightsaber out and he turned it on, and that's when he was able to block.
Well, and the only reason he lived through that is because he was not like most of the other Jedi who would always wait for a provocation. Whereas with Form 7, when you're fighting against someone of Form 7, you can't wait for a provocation because you'll be dead.
Well, and being an assassin, that's how Darth Maul was able to kill his opponents.
Yes.
Comes out of nowhere, hits up Form 7 Juyo real quick, kills
the enemy. You're dead before you know what's happening.
But Qui-Gon being a as wise as he was and as, you know, cautious and smart, also a form four, he was able to respond to the Juyo instantly with acrobatics.
Yes.
Like, had he not been where he was, it would have been probably pretty difficult.
Right. And the other part that's really easy to see, the power of Form 7, is Palpatine's fight with the four council members who come to arrest him. These are the pinnacle of the Jedi Order at the time. They all have mastered...
Well, the ones who are still, you know, on Coruscant.
Right, but they're of the council. They're counselors. They are the pinnacle. That is the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy.
Supposed to be the most powerful.
Well, they're of the dozen or
Here's
so.
Here's the thing.
They're of the dozen or so.
They are, but
now, they're also limited by they have to be politically savvy as well to make it to the council, but...
Politics and the council go hand
You hand. Have to be powerful and politically savvy, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. By this point, they are the most powerful. Because anybody who was more powerful than them, like Qui-Gon Jinn, is dead.
Well, I disagree, because I feel like if... So it was Eeth Koth, Sesse Tin, Kit Fisto, and Mace Windu. Replace Eeth Koth and Kit Fisto with Plo Koon. Replace Eeth Koth and Kit and Sesse Tin with maybe Plo Koon, Aayla Secura,
Shaak Ti,
Ki-Adi Mundi even. Think about it.
Ki-Adi Mundi was good, but I don't think he would have been able to do anything against Palpatine.
Form 4.
True.
Ki-Adi Mundi was one of the practitioners who was able to swap between Form 2 and Form 4 on a whim.
Right, but his personality is very hesitant, very
But he's
reserved.
A Jedi Knight.
It's true.
Sesse Tin was a consular, as was Kit Fisto. Not to say that they weren't proficient as Jedi Masters, but when it came to combat, it was... They were more of the, let's be diplomatic. But then you see Mace Windu, the first one to draw his lightsaber... He doesn't give a crap. He's like, well, this is going down, and I already know it's going down, so Plagueis, let's go.
And I think at that point, Mace Windu trusted Anakin.
Which, rightfully so, Anakin didn't lie to him.
Right, I think when Anakin came to him, he already trusted him, and he just said, well, if this proves to be true, you will have my trust. He basically meant, you have my trust, I'm going to go act on this. And so he knew... Palpatine is Sidious.
But could you imagine what would have happened if Anakin didn't stop? Obviously, now we're getting into the what-ifs, but
if
a little
tangent. If Anakin didn't stop, what?
If Anakin didn't kill Mace Windu, essentially kill him.
Cut off his hands. He didn't kill him.
I said essentially kill him. He didn't actually kill him.
I'm still hoping there's a Mace Windu movie coming where he's alive.
Well, that's... We'll leave that in the unfortunately tragic hands of Disney. But had Anakin not done anything...
Mace would have won, easily.
Right, but that trust would have been there. They could have made him a master. We have all these what-ifs, right?
Well, and quite simply, all of Anakin's premonitions would have proven to be false, and he would have been able to go, oh shit, it was me turning to the dark side that would have killed my wife. All of a sudden...
Anakin didn't kill his wife. She died in childbirth.
Okay.
People say,
she died of a broken heart.
I knew you were going to say it. That's,
and who broke
no,
her heart?
It's not the canon. She didn't die of a broken heart.
She died of lost will to live.
She had lost the will to live.
That's what
by
killed her.
Giving childbirth. Anakin's premonitions were still true. She died giving birth.
Yes, it was giving birth.
It wasn't Anakin that killed her. Just because he force choked her doesn't mean.
But
he
it was
killed.
Everything. It was everything combined, and it wasn't the force choke that killed her. That knocked her out. She was fine.
Now talking about Mace Windu again, going back a little bit. The Form 7 variant that he created, Vapad. We haven't touched on that yet for our last bit.
No, we haven't. Specifically created by Mace Windu after he mastered Form 7 Juyo, it was slightly different in that... So Form 7 uses rage, anger, hatred, very powerful emotions to increase your force potential. Mace Windu, though being dumb enough to try to master Form 7, which is very dark side oriented anyways, was able to create a variant of Juyo where he didn't draw on his own emotions. He drew on his opponent's emotions, Which is why he was so good at fighting Palpatine, because he was drawing on the emotions of Palpatine. He was gaining power from the power of his adversary.
Well, he takes their anger and rage, and he basically allows it to flow through him.
And use it against them.
Exactly. It kind of imbues him with their... Like, he... I don't want to say it steals, but he kind of does. He takes their power and uses it for his own.
Harvests it.
Siphons, I would say.
Because they both have... They're both using the same emotion. They're both using the same emotion. They're using Palpatine, in this case. They're using Palpatine's emotion. Simultaneously. He is utilizing the same emotion that Palpatine is to augment his force, his strength through the Force. That being said, he's not actually using his own anger, his own hate, his own fear, whatever emotion is strongest at the time. So he's not being tempted as harshly to the dark side.
Now, Mace Windu wasn't the only practitioner, though. Because you have Quinlan Vos, and you have, oh gosh, what was that name of that guy? Sora Bulk, who also utilized Vapad.
Yes, trained by Mace Windu.
And Quinlan Vos entered a sparring match with Mace Windu, and Mace Windu noticed him using... Because Vapad is known by the Council. They know it exists.
Yes, every one of these forms, you including...
You have to have permission from Mace Windu himself to train it.
Well, and you would want Mace Windu to train you.
Well, he created it.
Right, and he mastered it, and he mastered... Yeah, he's just really good at combat in general. It's probably the strongest form of lightsaber combat. It is the most recent to develop, and it's the only one of the seven forms that was banned by the Jedi Council, as well as being the only one that was brought back.
I wouldn't say banned, because Quinlan Vos used Vapad in a sparring match.
Oh, no, this was... So it was banned for several centuries.
Juyo was.
Yes, Juyo was banned.
I thought you were still talking about Vapad.
Form 7 was banned for several centuries before the era of the modern Jedi. It was brought back and allowed, and then... Mace Windu learned how to utilize it and created Vapad.
Mm-hmm.
Vapad specifically, the variant of Juyo, has not been banned by the Jedi Council, but Form 7 has.
Well, not banned, but you have to have permission. You even have to have permission to... It's not necessarily banned, you just have to have permission under the close eye of the Council.
It was banned, it was brought back, then it was restricted. So Mace Windu is in the era of restricted, where you have to have Council's permission.
He wasn't restricted.
Well, he was.
No.
Until he got permission from the Council.
He was not restricted from training in Juyo. He basically told Yoda, who's going to question Mace Windu?
Mace Windu, when he was young, was restricted until he got the okay.
Okay, if you're going to go, all right, if that's you're going to do that, then yes, but... Mace Windu was allowed to train because Yoda knew he wasn't going to fall to the dark side. He was so strong and had such high...
I think a better way of saying it is Yoda allowed him to practice Form 7 because he was the least likely of the Jedi on the Council to fall to the dark side. Not that any of them were likely to... But
I feel like Ki-Adi-Mundi wouldn't have. He was too pure.
Right, but Ki-Adi-Mundi wouldn't have even asked to go through Form 7 because it's too aggressive. He's so pure he wouldn't utilize it.
The Cerulean's his species are they have two hearts. The second heart is in their head. It's actually kind of funny, that's why they have the tall heads. But he was so pure that he wouldn't have even asked. Same with Plo Koon, I feel like.
Right, and Mace Windu, not saying he isn't pure, but...
Plo Koon was already under the eye of the Council because of his Force Judgment ability. His Ooh. Ability to use Force Lightning.
Yeah.
So I feel like they would have been like, sorry, Plo, but we're not going to let you train because you're already using Lightning we don't like.
We're already on the edge with you.
Even though he basically told the Council when they found out he was using Judgment, they were like, you can't do this. And Plo Koon was like, yeah, I can.
Look, I can. I just did
and
it.
The Jedi were like, okay, yeah, you can.
Well, you're not allowed to use Force Lightning. And Plo Koon's response is, that's not Force Lightning. That's Force Judgment.
There's a difference.
I'm not shooting lightning. I'm shooting judgment at them. It's probably the most badass thing ever.
Yes.
That's all seven forms of Jedi lightsaber combat. There probably won't be a Sith alternative to this because we don't know anything about their forms of lightsaber combat.
Well, they use the same ones the Jedi do, just in different ways. As far as everything in history is concerned, yes.
Right, right. I still hold that there's lost forms.
There's gotta be. Think of how many thousands of years came before.
How many tens of thousands of years?
Like, you don't think there were cottons might have had something under their skin?
You know, I don't think they did. They didn't use...
They didn't have lightsabers, but they...
Well, they didn't use melee weapons.
Yes, they did.
Well,
vibroblades.
For the slaves...
Okay.
But not against each other or against an actual adversary.
No, but then how about the Sith?
Oh, I think the Sith absolutely should have had at least one rudimentary form. Are we talking about the Sith Order or the Sith species?
The Sith species.
I think they should have had at least one rudimentary form. And I think their rudimentary form, kind of like we talked earlier about Form 1 being the natural progression of melee combat, theirs would have been far more aggressive than the Jedi's Form 1. And I think that would be considered a lost form.
Yeah. Well, be that as it may, pick your own favorite form. Let us know your favorite form. And maybe why.
Google some cutscenes of lightsaber fights if you haven't before. They're absolutely entertaining to watch.
So many. And if you go back through the movies and kind of watch the fights and take what we've hopefully taught some of you guys today and just be like, oh, wow, yeah, he is using that form, or I never noticed that part of the fight before. You can really start to pick it apart.
And there's some really amazing fan art and fan movies and fan clips that are absolutely amazing. Obviously, we're not going to be able to show anything because this isn't a video, but I would really suggest you go look for... it came out recently. It was a remake of the Obi-Wan Vader fight in Episode 4.
The SC-38 Productions.
Absolutely beautiful.
I think we'd mentioned that in a previous episode. It's amazing. There's also a Darth Maul fan film on YouTube you should check out too.
Yes, and I don't remember who made that one.
Of course.
Sorry about my allergies today. They're cutting some fields down and it's killing me, so I apologize for any of the coughing I did.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys, and like always, we can't wait to banter some more.
And see you back at the cantina next week.